Katie and I were expecting our kids. We did what most soon-to-be parents did. We got a baby name book out, and we were turning through the book. We weren't just looking for a nice name for our kids, but we were also looking for a name with a nice meaning to it. So even in today's culture, meaning still has something to do with us. So this evening, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at some of the names that God has given us as people. But before we do that, we need to understand what is a name and what does it do. So first, what is a name? A name is something that identifies you from other people. Now, if all the men in here were named Bob and all the women were named Sarah, it'd be a little difficult to identify each other. I mean, even when there's only one or two or three or four people in here by the same name, it gets a little confusing. So it identifies you as a separate person. Second, what does a name do? Besides identifying somebody, it can be a title or a job. To my kids, my name isn't Mitchell, it's Daddy. That's my name. So with that name, does it come some responsibility to it? Well, absolutely it comes with some responsibility to it. I am responsible for their well-being. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, I am responsible for them. Thirdly, where does a name come from? It may seem obvious, but you know, a name comes from somebody who has a higher authority than you. None of my kids named themselves when they were born. That was my job and Katie's job. We did that together, obviously, with the baby name book. We came up with their names. So it may seem obvious, but we'll make a point with that in a little while. So now let's take a look at some of the names or titles that God has given to us. We read in Acts 11, verse 26, this passage calls us Christians. Does that come with some responsibility? Absolutely, it does. If you would turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. And this passage is what we call the fruit of the Spirit. But they are also a blueprint of what a Christian is supposed to be. We're supposed to have love, joy, peace. We're to be a patient people. We are to be kind and full of goodness and faith. We're to be gentle and self-controlled. This is what it is to be Christ-like. This is what it is to be a Christian. We have to be followers of Christ. We have to be imitators of Christ. We have to be Christ-like. If I don't follow Christ or try to be like him, how on earth can I call myself a Christian? I can't. I'm not doing what the title is. So using this blueprint of what a Christian is, we can now more clearly measure ourselves against it to see where we're doing well and to see where we're not doing so well. We can also see by this, there's a lot of people that wear the title of Christian, but none of them are doing what's listed in Galatians. Are they Christians? I don't know. So let's say you have a job as a cashier at a store. And one day you start telling everybody, I'm a manager. I'm the new boss. I'm the guy. Come to me if you got a problem. Nobody gave you that name. You just decided to start doing it. Are you a manager? Nope. Not even close. How come? Because somebody with a higher authority than you never gave you that title. You can't just decide on your own to become the manager. So now let's say the owner of the store comes to you and wants to promote you to manager. Okay, now you have a choice to make. If you choose to take the promotion, you have to do the job. It's not enough to be called a manager. You actually have to be a manager. So, Jim, where is Jim not? Okay, when you became an elder, right, did you choose it? Or is it forced upon you? You chose to be an elder. Yeah, you had a choice. You made that choice. So when you became the elder, did your responsibilities change?
Absolutely.
They did. So it's not enough for you just to show up here and say, hey, I'm the new elder. I'm the guy. You had to do the job. And that likewise goes with every one of us. Just like when he chose to become an elder, we all chose to be Christians. We have to do the job that we signed up for. No different than him showing up and saying, I'm the elder. We're not doing the job. He does the job. We should do the job. We can't call ourselves Christians without doing the job that the name giver demands. Likewise, when the world calls us names, like, I'm a homophobe, a bigot, closed-minded. Is that true? Do they have the authority to change what the meaning of Christian is? No. God has the authority. He gave us the name Christian. He has the authority to establish what it means. So I'm going with his meaning of what Christian is. Now, being a daddy, manager, or Christian are all choices. We don't have to be any of these things. But by choosing not to do the job that we were given an opportunity to do, we cannot reap the rewards that come with doing that job. I have no hope of being in heaven with our Father if I don't do the job that he's asked us to do. So now let's take a look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. So verses 1 and 2. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. This passage calls us children of God. Okay, and think about that for a minute. The creator of everything, the universe, is calling us his children. I mean, that has a lot of weight behind it. Does that come with some responsibility to it? Called children of God. Absolutely it does. Okay, if you think about our own children, how are they supposed to act? Well, they're supposed to obey us. They're supposed to fear us, a healthy fear, respect us, trust us, and honor us. How much more should we do that with God, since he is our Father? So let's say now that my dad is a CEO of a major company. I'm pretty sure that I would have told everybody in here at one point or another that my dad was a CEO of a major company. I'd be proud of that. I mean, that's something. He's a major company CEO. I would talk about that. So if I'm so proud and would talk about someone who is just a CEO of a company, why do I act so ashamed to talk about my Heavenly Father? There's a time you think about it and you always recoil in shame, like, oh, I don't want to talk about that, or I'm just going to put that aside so nobody has to talk about it. We should be proud of what our Father is. He created us. He created the universe. Let's be proud of the one who created the universe, who knows our thoughts, the one that can save our souls. We should talk about that. We should be proud. So as children of God, we should act like children. Now, I'm not saying that we should run around in our underwear singing the Frozen soundtrack at the top of our lungs. Not that that happens at our house or anything, but we should act like children in a sense that we're not ashamed of who our dad is. We talk about it. My kids talk about things they're proud of. We should do the same. So at the end of the day, it all boils down to this. We chose to be Christians. We were given our marching orders. We were given our armor that's listed in Ephesians 6 to do the job. We need to stand up. We need to be proud of who we are, and we need to get to work. Think about these things now as we stand singing.